Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another chaotic episode of the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast. It's your boy, Greg DeMarc. We are, life has gotten in the way of all of us today. We're all running a little bit behind, but we're still going to bring you a great show. We have a guest scheduled tonight, very important guest, especially in the world of Michigan independent wrestling, the mysterious Movado, a 20-plus year veteran in the wrestling business and, man, a Detroit staple. He's from Planet Detroit. We're going to talk to him tonight. Day-Day's running a little behind. He's going to be with us here shortly. Martez is going to be here with us shortly. But, man, it was another exciting weekend. We had RPW from Toledo come to the F5 compound along with ICW New York to put on the Deathmatch Circus. It was a two-day event. A lot of my friends were there. Most of my friends didn't sleep on Friday night. It was a whole day and afternoon and night of, they had the pit. They had a, you know, a show with their signature chains, you know, on the ring as opposed to, and man, wild show, wild main event with Mickey Knuckles and Statica. Unbelievable. And then Mickey Knuckles on night two, she challenges Dale Patricks for the Rust Belt Deathmatch Championship. Come up a little bit short, but man, what a brawl. A lot of great brawls. Everybody saying the match of the weekend, Hoodfoot and friend of the podcast, Madman Pondo. Pondo came out victorious, but oh my God, what a bloodbath. Literally, arterial spray coming out of Mo Atlas's nugget piece, man, with absolute bloodbath. And man, that was just the beginning. What a show. What a night. I went there to visit. Shout out to my friend Andy Lawler from Deathmatch Elite, from Pro Wrestling and MMA World. A friend of mine I met on social media about 10, 12 years ago. Finally got to meet him in person. He tends to travel all over the United States, really, following ICW New York, because they really put on some premier deathmatch stuff, if that's your thing. And again, I'm a fan of all genres. It was it would have definitely been too much for some, man. Been a little too much for Marquez and my brother Coco. Shout out to Coco, man. He's him and the Kayfabe, the People's Band, doing big things. They're gonna be out at Ono's birthday bash. I believe it's the third or fourth annual birthday bash. Pure Pro Wrestling's putting it on. It's at the Diesel Concert Lounge in New Baltimore, Michigan. That's on November 27th. You'll obviously be hearing more about that from us. Ono being a friend of the show and a friend of Coco and Martez as well. But that's coming up. We got XICW coming up on the 23rd. And on the 30th, man, going to be quite an interesting day around here. F5 is going to have their deathmatch show. I believe RPW is going to have a deathmatch show in Devil's Night Part 2. And New Edge Wrestling is going to have their premiere event. That's where I'll be on the 30th. We are real excited for the launch of this new promotion, launch of an old promotion, but don't really want to beat a dead horse there. But let's see what we got going on over here. You're live.
Hello.
Good evening, what's, sir.
What's up, my man, Greg?
I can hear you.
Good to be back. I said, what's going on,
awesome,
Greg?
Awesome. I was just telling everybody about... I know you are, man, and definitely you got my prayers. I had been praying for healing for my brother, and song kept coming to mind. I had to send that to you last evening.
Oh, man.
Fear might brighten up your spirits a little bit.
Yeah, it almost had me crying, man.
I don't think you would have been much for the deathmatch circus, man. That definitely wouldn't have been your cup of tea, and it's not Coco's cup of tea, as I was just saying. It was It's definitely not for everybody.
No,
but we got to.
I definitely wouldn't want to go to every event. You know, I'm not saying it is bad, but, like, I would want it to be a special occasion once every now and then to go watch a death match. That's how I view it for me. You know?
I feel like you would have viewed ICW and RPW, especially watching, you know, Friday they had three matches. They had the pit, which is their old concept. There's no ring. They fight in, like, a pit. It was surrounded by, you know, and it's like a deathmatch street fight style. And it's different.
Wow.
But, you know, there was that, and then the ICW. It's some real over-the-top violence, you know. And I think it would have been a bit much for you. That's why I think that, like, a horror slam is good. And RPW, too, don't get me wrong. But, you know, because they have the variety of, you know, wild violence, as well as good wrestling, comedy, storytelling, everything in between.
Man, well, you definitely know me well. You know what I probably would like and probably won't like. And I think the more extreme, the more I probably wouldn't like it, because some of that stuff that I saw at GCW in versus Horace Land, it got to the point where it was too gruesome for me. So,
and you enjoyed it in small doses. If there would have been more of it, I believe it would have been less enjoyable for you. And a lot of people, I think it's that way, because some people can't see the storytelling that a lot of deathmatch wrestling does. They see violence for the sake of violence, and they really, you know, it turns to like, oh, okay, I've seen every match I've seen somebody get hit with a light tube. You know what I mean? Like, not your casual fan isn't going to – it's going to become repetitive to the casual fan if death matches aren't specifically necessarily your thing.
And you said something that was so true. You know, like for me, at a point in that night, although every match was great, I didn't get any storyline out of the death matches. It just seemed like it was just a barbaric experience, but no true
violence for the sake of violence.
Yep, and I'm not gonna lie. At some point, like the light, what do you call it? The light. I'm just calling the light bulbs. You know, what
light
do you call
tubes. Yeah, the light bulbs.
Yeah, the light tubes. I'm not gonna say that got old, but it just got. It wasn't as cool.
Yeah, because you've seen the spot in every match. It's like they say that about a lot of moves now. Like, you see a Canadian Destroyer in every match, you know what I mean? Kick out it, too.
And you're hitting on something there, because I even say that about the roll-ups. I feel like roll-ups are coming back. You know, they do that a lot in that company that I like. You know, they do that a lot. So I'm even bored on that, the roll-ups for a win.
Now, the roll-up, that is like one like a headlock. There's certain moves you kind of should see every match, but a lot of moves you should not be seeing every match, like big spots, big moves, high impact moves. Like, dude, poor Jake the Snake, the DDT, the most devastating move in the world, right? And dude, it's just a headlock now.
You know what I miss, man? I miss the power driver. I don't know if it was Owen Hart and Stone Cold situation that kind of put a damper on that move, but I don't see that too much anymore. And I missed that move, the power driver.
I am also a fan of the pile driver.
Yeah.
That was a different type of pile driver, man. That was a sit-out pile driver. That was a, I mean, obviously you trusted Owen to do it, I'm sure, you know, it was a freak accident. But, man, to me, that looked dangerous.
Yeah.
No diving, jumping, sit-out pile driver, like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I don't want to get off subject too much. I want you to get back to what you were talking about before I came on, but. Even the Hell in a Cell has lost value with me in TLC because they made it a pay-per-view and it's overdone. It's not a special thing anymore.
And even when they were building a story towards that pay-per-view, you're like, well, the month after next is Hell in a Cell, so we'll probably have a schmooze finish and, you know, there'll be Hell in a Cell next month.
You know it.
It's either that or throwing folks in the cell for the sake of them being thrown in the cell because it's whatever month of the year it is, or in a TLC match because, or an Extreme Rules match because of what month of the year it is. Money in the Bank. I love that as a pay-per-view concept with more than one match. Love that. I love the Money in the Bank. I love when someone has it. That's why I hate when they cash it in night of, because I like the threat of it. I like the teases of it.
Oh, yeah. That adds to it week after week, month after month. When is this person going to cash in? When is this person not going to cash in? You know, that definitely adds to it for sure. Excuse me.
Definitely. Hopefully, we get some more excitement here in the near future. So I know you're the WWE guy. So how do you feel about the draft?
Oh, man, yeah, we had a nice little chatter about this the other night. I wasn't happy and I wasn't mad about it because at this point the draft is the draft. You know, it doesn't get me excited and it doesn't make me angry, you know. It's not really a legit draft to me, you know. Because at some point, they can create a scenario where this person may go over to this brand to wrestle this person. We've seen that a number of times where Drew McIntyre from Raw can go over to SmackDown and face Roman Reigns. Now, so it doesn't excite me. It was okay, but at the end of the day, it don't excite me. It didn't excite me at all. And that's all.
If they were
to
avoid that all year long, with the exception of Survivor Series, would it be exciting?
If they avoid the draft, you say?
No, if they avoided the cross-promotional feuding period. You're a Raw, you're no Forbidden Door in between. It's Forbidden Door, except in November. Would that make the draft more exciting? Is that what it would take? I like the draft more when it was like, any of your guys are available, I can take your world champion. Like, I like, that was the draft. They're still doing the whole randomized trade gimmick, right?
Yep. And it's too predictable. I knew Roman was going to stay on SmackDown. I knew Big E was going to stay on Raw. I would like them to just draft NXT people. That would really bring some legit. That would make the draft legit. Like, draft your developmental people.
And to have more trades throughout the year.
Yes. Yes.
And have storyline contracts. I have a 3-year contract with Raw. And then you could throw them storylines in there where, you know, you get a storyline out of it with where is he going to sign? Is he going to leave Raw?
Right. All right. But then again, what they do, they assault our intelligence, you know, like this is the draft and this and that. Things are going to change and da 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 da. And just don't assault our intelligence, you know, make it more believable, like the NFL, like the NBA.
The true way they should draft with two teams is do it like an expansion draft. You may protect so many wrestlers, everybody else's fair game, and have them draft one for one.
Right. Absolutely.
Draft from one another. If you want to, you know, do it in a draft way. It didn't seem like a whole lot of people moved this year.
It don't. It really don't. And
not really any game changers. Who would you say is the biggest game changer move?
Oh, good question. I would say, this is what I say on Monday night. My sleeper is Xia Li. Xia Li from NXT. Xia Li is, she's probably going to be the most standout if they book her correctly and create her to be what she should be. Xia Li has the most chance. She has the most potential out of everybody that was drafted because Xia Li, she has the skill set. Xia Li, she's a dominant force. I don't know if you saw her work in NXT. She's good in the ring, man. She's intimidating. You know, Xia Li is someone that I've never really seen on a WWE television as far as the main brand. So this is a nice change of pace. That was a nice change of pace selection by selecting Xia Li, if I can get my words together, excuse me. So, yeah, Xia Li, that's my go-to pick for my sleeper.
Nice. Who would you say was the biggest star that was moved?
All right, for the sake of this show, I guess you could say Bianca Belair. She was the biggest star that was moved because she's still pretty fresh. She's still pretty new. She also has that potential tag on her, the potential to be great. So I would just say Bianca Belair. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what
show you
are.
So do
you
think that move benefited Bianca, or was she better off where she was?
Well, I think it I like what you're doing here, Greg. You're smart. I think it didn't benefit her. It would have benefited her if they would have kept Becky on SmackDown. Because I don't see Becky
what
giving
a
up that
squandered story. I don't like the way that feud, you know. But maybe that's what they need, because Bianca Belair is a star. She carried the ball from WrestleMania, did great. I think she was a great champion. She came off as very believable. I hope that it does become a good thing to her. And, you know, she's – I like to see, like, Alexa Bliss. Never got a push like that in NXT. When she moved up, that's when her best days were on the main roster.
Yep.
I want Bianca's best years to be ahead of her and not behind her, especially after carrying the ball as the champion, you know, winning the Royal Rumble, winning the title at WrestleMania, getting fucking squashed in 6 seconds. Losing a match on like a kind of a schmooze finish, you know, to Becky, and then drafted over to another brand.
Yeah. And then to insert Sasha Banks into the feud now.
Oh, hey, hang on one second. I think our guest is on the line. And hang on. Day-Day?
Okay.
Is that you, Day-Day? Thought we had Day-Day here. I believe this is our guest of the evening.
Who are we asking for?
Good evening. Is this the mysterious one from Planet Detroit?
Yours mysteriously, yes. Hello.
Hello and welcome.
Hello. How are we doing, humans?
Man, we are doing great, man. I'm so honored to have you on the show here tonight. When Day-Day told me he had gotten a hold of you and we were going to be talking to you tonight, man, I was so excited. As you know, I'm a big fan. I got one of the Series 1 Movado action figures, baby.
Oh, wow. OG. Look at you. Heck yeah, man. I always appreciate the support.
I was talking about this earlier. You have the only person that can come close to comparing with the variety of cool shit you have at the merch table was maybe Peter B. But, man, the variety, I mean, and there's always something new, man.
Always. Got to always keep it fresh, you know.
It is. You might be the Midwest merch king.
Well, I mean, I'd be humbled to say that. There's a lot of guys out there that are, you know, that are grinding, that are providing cool merchandise for the fans. I just, my whole thing is I want my stuff to always be unique and changing. And then that way, you know, fans can collect what's new and kind of, you know, evolve with the mysterious Movado as I go.
Right. And it gives you a reason to, you know, it gets you repeat customers, you know?
There you go, baby.
I remember one time you told Bradley, you're like, oh, you got everything I got up here, kid.
Yep, you already got everything. Wait until the next time when I re-up and some fresh material.
Come see next month. Yeah, it's absolutely awesome, man. You've been a very busy guy.
I've been keeping busy, you know. Rolling stone gathers no moss, as they say. So I got to stay moving, try and keep moving forward, and just trying to make this thing just more worldwide than it already is.
That's right. We are. You're probably one of the original Juggalos, one of the original JCW guys. Cause how long have you been in the business? Been over 20 years, right?
Yeah. Wow. You know, talk about making an alien feel old. But actually, I started. Now you make me cough. Look at that. Yeah, I haven't been feeling well, but no COVID. Don't worry. So I actually started in wrestling back in 1996 with ICP. So if that tells you how old I am.
And that's awesome. That's man, you're one of the original Juggalos, from the original Juggalo Championship Wrestling. VCR type.
Yeah, back then it was actually, they called it National All-Star Wrestling. And that was pre-JCW. That was fun. It was a good time. You know, some young kids not really knowing what to do necessarily or how to do it, but having a good time doing it. And then I didn't, you know, I kind of, with the band and wrestling, we just kind of took a good 5 years where I wrestled, but it wasn't very busy. At that time, we didn't have multiple promotions where there was a lot of shows to go to. So I just kind of concentrated more on the band at first, and probably in the first 5 years, maybe only had maybe 100 matches the whole 5 years, until I got kind of properly trained about 2001, with Truth Martini.
So you bring up being properly trained. It's, and I always stress it, you know, can't stress it enough that, and I stress for the most, the House of Truth and Truth Martini. And, you know, what you guys do there, absolutely awesome. Like, just recently, man, Kyler, Forever Young, Brutus, and Solo, man, they're
yeah,
making the House of Truth look good, man. You guys do an awesome job.
Sure, there's a lot of guys out there doing it up. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people when you look at kind of, you know, Danhausen and, you know, some of the people that are just doing some really cool stuff out there representing, you know, the House of Truth and the training there. And, you know, I was a part of the training there as well as a coach and trainer. You know, I still do from time to time. But yeah, man, like back when I started, there was no like wrestling schools to just go to or to call or to go online. Like, it was really kind of unheard of, you know. So nowadays there's plenty of places where you can train. You know, even in Michigan, there's several places. Of course, House of Truth is I would, you know, put as the premier place for Michigan, of course. But then you've got Skull and Bones down in Toledo. Those guys are doing a great, you know,
Trey
a friend
Miguel.
Of ours. Yeah, Trey Miguel and Crimson. Those guys are doing a heck of a job down there, you know. And, of course, you've got, you know, the Can-Am School in Windsor. I don't know how much they're doing right now with the kind of the Impact Wrestling involvement they have. But there's lot of opportunity now. I mean, the world is just a lot smaller now, you know, and everyone has much more information. So it took a lot longer back when I was young to kind of to get some traction as opposed to now where it seems like you can almost hit the ground running. You know what I mean? A lot of these kids.
Yeah, you can
right
just show up
right out of wrestling school. Yeah, exactly. You know, right out of wrestling school, they got merchandise. They got bookings. A lot of these kids are even getting paid. Not much. But I mean, geez, man, that was getting paid? What? That was like unheard of when you first started. So it's cool, man. You know, there's a lot of ways where the business is better. A lot of ways where the business is maybe a little bit, I don't know about worse, but let's just say different. But you got to change with the times, you know. I mean, that's society, right? So.
And times have definitely changed a lot.
They sure have.
So, man, I also want to talk about, to me, the most exciting Movado news that I've heard lately, man. I've seen you. I actually seen it before anybody was talking about it. I seen a clip of some. I'm like, wait a minute. That's Mysterious Movado there on AEW.
Ah, right on. Yeah, cool, man. Thank you. I mean, what did you think? Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely, man. Like I said, man, you're one of the most entertaining guys on the card, you know. When the Movado match is always fun. And I like to boo
you
because kids like you, and I don't like kids. But you know I love you.
Hey, you know what? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's funny. Like, when you go down to Mexico, It's such a fun thing. Like, even the people that boo, you know, and down there, as even on AEW, you know, I saw I had to take more of a heel route, which is what I've had to do in Mexico before as well too. And you know, even down there though, like, they boo the crap out of you and just make you feel like they want to kill you. But then afterwards, boy, do they want a picture with you and tell you how great it is to have you there, you know. So,
yeah,
it's just a different kind of thing, you know, culturally, I think, in different places in the world. But I think a lot of the American fans now have that where it's almost acceptable. It's like, man, you know, I boo you, but I love you, man. And it's like, my thing is, you know, as long as you're reacting some way, somehow, then we've won, you know. I just don't want people to be, you know, sitting on their hands and not making any noise or not smiling. One of the big things I look for when I look at images of when I'm wrestling is I look out into the crowd and I look at their faces. And that's a big thing for me. Like, I just kind of read the faces if I see images or if I'm watching a show. And I say, like, okay, how are they reacting to me? And as long as they're reacting to me continuously and smiling and having a good time, then for me, you know, my job's done. So I'm glad you enjoyed it on AEW. It was definitely it was a cool thing to have gotten involved with, for sure.
That's absolutely awesome. So, are you just that humble guy? Because you never said, everybody but you was talking about it. I mean, before, during, and after. I still don't think you really much acknowledged it. Are you not supposed to, or are you just that humble guy?
Well, I mean, first of all, somebody that says they're humble, is you got to be aware of that person. So it's not so much that I'm trying to feel like, hey, I'm Mr. Humble. It's just more of the fact that, like, I'm a guy that I don't like to spill the beans. I'm not a big spoiler. I like for people to unveil, open the present. I like for people to enjoy like the surprise a little bit. So until I kind of knew what was going to happen until that point, and then until the point where I knew it was safe, that I'd kind of start to really promote that, hey, I did this, and you know, you can see me here. And I think that's the way to go. I mean,
I wouldn't have been interested necessarily in watching that episode before I knew there was a chance I'd see you on it.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that. I definitely enjoyed, you know, the experience there and watching, you know, because we were able to watch the other tapings as well, too. And, of course, watching them now as they've been coming out in the following weeks. It's been great, man. That company is, like, really doing some great things. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
How was that locker room atmosphere? Is it different compared to, you know, the indie thing, or was it a different experience?
Well, it's different in a few ways. There's certainly a lot more in shape people. that's different. There's a lot more people that take what they do like incredibly seriously. You know what I mean? But what I was, you know, one of the things that I guess you get worried about is if you're in a big company situation, like you don't want to have like a big timing feeling or you feel like nervous. And I do have to say that, I mean, all the stars that were there and all the awesome people involved in the business, people I look up to, it was such a great environment. It was not intimidating. It was very relaxed. And it was very, you know, straightforward. You knew it was expected of you and you did that. And everyone had an agent for their match. So that part was really great. I mean, to be able to have that. Also, just for myself, you know, I've been involved in wrestling so long that I've known a lot of the guys that are there. So it was really cool being able to catch up with a lot of the guys that I hadn't seen in a while and hadn't seen me in a while. And some who hadn't seen me since I lost the weight and tried to get in better shape. So that was kind of fun, you know, being able to catch up and just feeling right at home. I mean, immediately I had this sense of this feels right. You know, nobody's trying to make you feel down or talking down to you. Everyone was very interested in helping and critiquing matches. And it was a lot of fun, very positive. And they definitely take care of their talent, man, like 100%. So they're very caring.
That's absolutely awesome. So I'm glad you brought it up, Matt. See, I didn't know Movado 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And it was, you know, kind of news to me when I had seen, you know, some old video. It was, I guess, around the time that the Bumpin' Uglies were going to come back together for a minute that, you know, I seen, you know, the amazing, you know, physical transformation that you went through, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, man. It's, you know, and it's ongoing. It's one of those things that's like, it continues on, you know. Sure, you like you lose the big amount of weight. As you know, in wrestling, you know, we're in a physical appearance, you know, where it's very important, our physical appearance. So for me, it's important to be healthy, of course, as well, and to look the part, you know. I don't want to disappoint someone that puts their hard-earned money down to watch a show. I don't want them to question, you know, if they, oh, gee, look at this guy, I could beat him up. You know what I mean? I don't want them to question why are we sitting here paying money, eating this stale popcorn to watch this guy? You know what I mean? So I always feel like, that's why, you know, the way that I look and all of the different gear that I wear and the professionalism that I bring with how I perform and what I do, it's all for the audience. It's, and in that way it is for me, right? But like if I just look at it like I just want to make sure they get their value, that's my big thing. And I think that's why promoters book me, is because they see the care, they see the attention to detail that I bring, they see the passion that I have for the fans. So it's always a safe bet.
And when you go home, you're gonna remember the Movado match. You're gonna
that's my
what is it? You know, you're gonna remember the Movado match always.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, I appreciate your incredible transformation too. Is they probably
all hell Diamond Dallas Page, man. I give him a lot of credit, and actually my friend Zach Gowan, who introduced me to DDP Yoga, so that really got me rolling. You know, Alex Shelley introduced me to intermittent fasting. That helped me. And, you know, just now it's to the point where it's like I just got to keep trying to maintain, keep trying to look better, keep evolving, keep the look fresh, because people seem to respond and enjoy the different looks that I bring. And, yeah, just try and bring this thing more worldwide.
And see, that just gives somebody a reason to always get that next Movado mask, dude. The Wolverine ones were dope. They were, it's always the next look for limited time only. It's like the fucking $5 box at Taco Bell.
Limited
forever evolving.
And I will tell you this, I have a new look that's going to be debuted Saturday at War Wrestling in Lima, and I'll be wearing that for the remainder of the Halloween season. It's special Halloween themed and colored gear, so like a monstrous mysterious Movado.
Man, stay tuned for that. So another my first exposure to mysterious Movado was at XICW. And just like you've been a, you know, Juggalo staple from the beginning, you've been a XICW staple as well. Can we expect to see you at the big 21st anniversary show in Standish?
Well, right now my people are negotiating with their people, and I hope that we can come to an agreement. You know, XICW for me is a big family. So we go back a long, long time. So I would absolutely love to be there. I've kept that date open on purpose, you know, to make sure I could be available for them. So I'm actually just kind of waiting on word to confirm, but hopefully you'll see me there.
So I'm going to try to get an inside scoop. Is DDA an alien? So I'm wondering, I mean, the guy's lived on Earth for hundreds of years. You've wrestled for longer than, you know, most wrestlers have been alive.
Oh.
So, is DBA one of you?
DBA is an enigma wrapped inside a riddle.
So you're not denying it?
I'm neither going to confirm nor deny. All I say is, like, he looks the very same to me as when I first met him. So I don't know how you just don't age.
I've seen pictures. I've seen videos. Exactly. And the guy has not aged a day.
So that's all I'm saying.
Late 80s? Yeah.
So I don't know.
See?
I don't know.
I figured if anybody knew it was you. But I know you're too clever to spill the beans.
Can't divulge that kind of information, man. That's like if I let the report out, I'd have to redact that.
But you can't hate a guy for trying. You just can't hate a guy for trying.
Stop.
I had to take my shot.
There you go.
So you, man, you had one hell of a run as the Cruiser Core champion there.
Yeah,
here in the recent past too.
Just won it back too.
How long were you the champion? 4 or 5 months at least?
I don't know.
No longer.
Honest,
you won it last fall, right?
Yeah, it was last October. And then I had dropped it, or I lost it rather, a few months back to Moloch. And then just won it back. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's Tanner had it, too, for a minute. I had it for a little while, and then Tanner had it.
Oh, I wanted Tanner to beat you so bad.
Yeah, Yeah, well,
I wanted
Tanner
to be the one.
T-Nix is for the children, so he's all right. He's a good kid, even though he sometimes gets a little angry.
I mean, it's one of them guys, man. You can sympathize with his frustration.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I love T-Nix. Love that guy.
He's one of the guys. He's one of the guys I'm really, really proud of, you know, that I helped train with the House of Truth, because he's one of the guys that understood that it didn't end on the very last day of class. He continued on, and he hit the road, and he wasn't afraid to travel, and he wasn't afraid to make sacrifices and to, you know, meet and network and work other people and places. And so that's what's really helped him grow into a pretty darn good pro wrestler that he's become so far. So I'm looking forward to see where he grows into as well. Proud of that guy.
One of my favorite things that has happened in the recent past that I can't watch enough times. Have you seen Tanner's List? You weren't there. It was at Knights of Columbus at Pro Wrestling All-Stars. And he comes out with this United States Championship, and he's like, this is my own concept. I've decided to do this United States Championship Open Challenge. And just the delivery was so great. And he breaks out this paper and starts going down the list of who won't be answering the challenge and why, according to the rules he's made for his championship. He's got height minimums and maximums, weight minimums and maximums. It was great.
Too old. Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah,
it was a lot of
clever.
Fun. So who is the next challenger for the Cruiser Corps Championship?
Oh, man, you know, I don't know.
Who's the most deserving?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot that could come into the fray. I can't say, like, who's most deserving.
Sure you
can. To me, if you think you can step up to Mysterious Movado and think you can literally, you know, like, have a chance and take the title, that, to me, that takes some guts. That takes some, you know, I think some confidence. And so if that person thinks they can do that, then they're welcome to do that, you know. My thing, I always have, like, kind of an open challenge philosophy anyway in terms of that, mainly because it's not – I don't choose who gets to wrestle me. You know what I'm saying? So – I have to be.
You
ready
don't think
for
as
any...
a veteran and as a champion that your opinion would have bear some weight? If you
well,
thought a guy was deserving and you wanted a challenge? What if someone come and whack your alien nugget with a chair piece? Would that change your motivation?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it could. It may or may not. But yeah, so as things organically play out sometimes, and it's like, okay, now that person's who I'm going to be working with, right? But then there are other times where you're just kind of surprised, where you show up and, hey, you know, you're going to be wrestling this guy. It's like, ah, all right, cool. Like,
because I feel Tanner did a good job of forcing your hand, of, you know, keeping himself, you know, in that conversation for the championship as long as he did. That was... He did a good job of motivating you to want to give him another opportunity.
He stayed on my radar, put it that way. Yeah, he did a good job of that.
So Rivera didn't give us a clear answer. Like, the Cruiser Corps Championship, is this much like the X Division Championship where it's not really weight limit? Because the next challenger I would like to see you defend against would be the House of Truth's own Brutus Atwell.
Yeah. So to my knowledge, the Cruiser Corps thing is not necessarily a weight limit. It's, I guess, just more of a style of wrestling, which I don't know whether or not I fit into that. But either way, you know, I take any championship seriously. So, I mean, Brutus, if he wants to stop playing in the swamp and come get down and play in Detroit, like, that's something we can do, you know, see if he's learned anything since he got out of school.
That would be a very exciting match to see. I'm going to start clamoring for that. Get Mr. FIO.
Clamor. Yeah, tell the certain powers to be to FIO.
That's right. I'm going to tag Mr. FIO. Tell him. I mean, Brutus is, dude, we've had a lot of House of Truth guys that just came up so fast and to me are like stars now, destined to be superstars like Solo and even Kyler, Forever Young. And I mean, they just stand out and they're almost some of the newest. And also, I really want to give credit to, and I've not seen her wrestle, Miss Crystal Lane. She was, and you mentioned, you know, paying your dues, and man, she set up XICW and Standish by herself. Everybody else was late. I was there with the ring. Her and I set up the ring, and she set up everything, all the chairs, everything. Was happy to do it. Not booked. Made the 2.5-hour trip and did all the work with a smile, glad to do it because she was trained by good people. And she is good people.
That's what I was just going to get to. Like, she's doing what you are supposed to be doing, you know? So, yeah, and
hey,
I think,
guys,
you know,
I'm on. I'm sorry to be late. How's it going, guys?
Yo, yo.
What's up, brother Movado, brother Greg? Man, I was at, well, at my shoot job. I was listening in. That's what I heard you, Greg. I was actually doing my shoot job. So, man, great show, guys.
I don't know anything about this guy, so.
Man, he's
doing his
Canadian.
Shoot job.
He's from Planet Detroit. Planet Rock City, baby.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, Movado, man. One guy I want to see you go against also is Atlas Hightower. I know you went against him a couple of times, but, man, that's a classic match. I'm sorry
to go
off subject, though, guys.
No, yeah, for sure, man. Atlas, he's got a lot of talent, you know, for sure. And he's coming into his own in the last couple of years, definitely. Not only that, but he's got some sweet boots.
Oh, man. Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I got all of it, man.
Yep, and he's another guy who's got timber.
And your match, like Greg said on AEW, I actually watched it live, man. That you versus Fuego de Sol, that match was great, man. I hope, you know what I'm saying, we see one day and we can share on the Rated R fan page. You know, Mysterious Movado is all elite. That would be awesome to see.
Ah, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. You know, I mean, I'm just working to get another opportunity, and so keep in communication with them. And yeah, it was a great opportunity and a really great experience. It felt great, and I got a lot of really good feedback. Really good feedback. So it made me feel good. You know, it's one of those things where you finally get a little bit of traction. The whole thing with what we do is we need a lot of eyes on us. It really depends on who sees too. I mean, there are so many talented wrestlers out there, but there's only so many paying jobs, right? So
that can go
nowadays, nowadays, at least you have AEW now as a viable company where they're providing more paying jobs. And then now you've got MLW that is coming up as a company, right? And they're offering contracts, and you know what I mean? Like, so there's you've got Ring of Honor, you know, and you've got Impact.
Right.
So, like, there's not just the WWE now. So,
no.
But there's so many more wrestlers. So the idea that, you know, you finally get an opportunity at one of these large companies is something I don't take for granted, right?
Yeah, I get you. And that's what I like about AEW. AEW's got a different aura about it, you know what I'm saying? And then they give everybody a chance. They're not just letting the WWE guys that just came, you know, fresh ex-WWE guys to not just get a push. They're, you know, they're going to get their push, of course, because of their name. But, you know, they're giving talent like everybody and like yourself, you know what I'm saying, that's trying to get up in the game, that you've been here for so long. And they're giving you guys a chance, and that's just that's the best thing, because WWE said that they're not going to be looking for indie wrestlers or indie independent wrestlers, you know what I'm saying, to do the WWE no more. They're actually going to move on from that, and I think that's the wrong move that what they're doing.
Well, you know, whether or not they go through phases, right? I mean, there were times with the WWE where, you know, they were saying if you weren't at least 6 foot tall and 250 pounds of muscle, they weren't going to look at you. But if you look at that very same time frame, there were people that they signed that were outside of that. So it's like, can there be a main thing they're looking for? Sure. But if you're good enough, you know, and you've heard the phrase, like, undeniable. Like, I mean, if you're good enough and you perform well enough, they, you know, and they see that you're good, even if they might be looking for something else, they're not going to be dumb enough to, you know what I mean? They're going to pick you. So, I just really hope that enough people know. I've got a lot of eyes on me. People hopefully really enjoyed the match and saw what I could do in a short amount of time. But, you know, hundreds of thousands of people now, it looks like, have seen it. So that's big for me. So I just want to keep on, you know, obviously promoting and getting more eyes on the Mysterious Movado brand, and just bring it home, you know.
So if you were to have an offer of a contract from WWE and from AEW simultaneously, where do you think you would get a better opportunity to showcase what you truly can do? And like you said, I feel like if you're in WWE, you would not get the opportunity to showcase the Movado brand that you've worked so hard and done such a great job building. I think AEW would allow you that platform.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally in disagreement with that necessarily, but I also do believe that wherever was the smarter offer, or if that's very hypothetical, but if that were the situation, you know, I'd have to take a look at what's best for my family, obviously, and just kind of in talking with people in the industry at the companies and just kind of looking at what's being offered, it. AEW seems far more attractive in terms of the work-to-life balance and as far as the travel goes. And it really looks to be somewhere that could be very interested in the Movado brand to partner with me. And I feel like we could sell hundreds of thousands of masks together. So, yeah. So, Tony Khan, you know, I'm ready to do business, brother.
Man,
this is what I'm talking about.
Listening, we would love to see that. We'd love to see the Movado, you know, on AEW. Like I said earlier, we would love to share that on the Wrestling Podcast fan page.
All right. Well, you guys will get the scoop if and when I sign. So
we would appreciate
that.
That would be great, and we're you know, grateful for the time you gave us today. Also, you know what I'm saying, and it's always
my pleasure.
You know, it's going to be times where, you know, but we would love to see you, like, next show, you know, that we get to see you at dinner, be on me, man.
Ah, all right.
Dinner with,
you're going to regret that. You're going to regret that because we could eat.
Oh, yeah.
Aliens get down, boy.
Oh, I already know. But
all right,
yeah,
man. Hey, I really appreciate you guys. I'm going to have to run here in a minute, but I just wanted to definitely thank you guys for what you do. You know, appreciate it's people like you guys that, you know, talk about what we do and keep people interested, and, you know, have, you know, some people are really negative on people that have opinions about wrestling, or sometimes I think the wrestlers, sometimes they get a little negative, you know, with people that aren't wrestlers that have, you know, have opinions about wrestling. And I'm not one of those people, because I understand that that's what fans do. As a fan of myself, of music and movies, and I mean, everyone has an opinion of what they like and maybe what they don't like. And I mean, that's, if you're a paying customer, you have that, you know, that ability to be able to have a forum to talk about it, you know. And in doing so, you guys help promote what we do. And I see that you promote a lot of the independent wrestlers and the shows, and you're very active doing that. So I thank you, you know, for having me on and for trying to help out the scene. You know, it's appreciated. I just wanted you guys to know that.
Thank you, man. That
Thank
really
you.
Means
really
a lot.
We really appreciate that.
And what you
it
do means
a lot,
a lot
yep,
to us,
well.
And that's why we're passionate about promoting it and spreading the gospel of independent wrestling.
Amen. All right, guys. Hey, listen, follow me on the old Instagram at Mysterious Movado, on the old Twitter bots at BNU number 2, and the old Facebooks at the Mysterious Movado. Yo, buy my shirts and stuff.
Buy your shirts and masks and figures
and
keychains and
that's on there.
Cool shit. Lots of cool shit.
And be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for the new Halloween version of Mysterious Monstrous Movado coming soon.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, brother, again for taking the invitation, and we will see you soon.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night, brother. Have a good one. Thanks for coming on.
That guy is fucking awesome. I've been a fan since my very first XI show. You know what I mean? Because he's a guy, like I was saying earlier, like, you're going to remember the Movado match. You're going to remember, you know, Movado when you go. If it's the first event you went to, you know, who do you remember? Movado is going to be one of those people.
You know what? And if you don't know who Mysterious Movado is, check out the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 on YouTube. I believe we have a match or two with him and on the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313. We have matches with he was in TKW Total Chaos Wrestling and also on the Rated R at PWAS. I believe that's when he won the Cruiser Core title that night. I'm not sure, but I'm 100% positive that he's on there on both channels. So
when
like,
do you
share,
think
subscribe, and,
because I was asking him that. I thought it was last fall. We were there.
It was
in Melvindale.
It was
at Play at Laren.
That's what I'm saying. I believe that's the night that he did win that championship. I want to say that's it.
Yeah.
Because we were both there. Remember, we were both there that night.
We were definitely both there. I was there with you when he won the Cruiser Core Championship because I was bitching.
Yeah. Bro, we were there all last summer. All last summer, we were cachondoed out.
Yeah, all summer, all fall, until the outdoor got shut down. And, I just might have to go check out Metro Pro, dude.
Saturday, I'll probably be there. I will probably be there. I'm not going to guarantee nothing. Because
dude.
I want to go to the Horror Slam show on the 22nd. Oh, dude,
yeah,
guess
the,
what?
The
this is wrestling related. Guess what, guys? You tell me if this is a good trade, Greg. I'm going to ask you a question. A boot signed by Sabu for that mask that Trey Miguel wore last year. It got the proof of authenticity and everything.
I'd trade it, dude.
Yep, that's
I don't
doing.
Know, man. I mean,
I,
that's
I,
your, that is your souvenir. There's, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't think anybody else would appreciate it. But I don't know, that's a hell of a trade.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
a
is.
Pretty sweet deal.
But
I might trade it.
That's what I'm saying, because, you know, I can get Trey Miguel's autograph anytime. He's going to be at Horseland. So, I mean, it's all good in the hood. I can always get it again. I can always buy another mask. I can always, you know, have them wear blah, blah, blah. You know, why not?
Yeah.
Dude, did you see who Horseland signed for the November the 11th show?
Oh, Victor?
Victor from the Ascension, dude.
Yeah, Victor.
Oh, it's
no,
Connor. Yeah, the Connor. Connor. Yeah, it's Connor. Yeah.
That's
but
them guys
then,
like
got,
that. Yeah, he's the bigger one, but the Ascension, man, I know them as a tag team. I know them as one entity.
No, dude, he's fucking huge, bro, and he's done turned, you know, into something different that, you know what I'm saying? He got, like, the little face paint, like, when he was in the Ascension, dude, but... You know, WWE, look, man. WWE don't know what to do with a lot of their talent. They don't know what to do with it. So, you know what I'm saying? The Ascension was great on NXT. They're former NXT tag team champions,
you know, when they went up to the main roster, when WWE started messing up with their NXT roster. And that's what they're doing now, and that's why WWE is in hot water. I'm sorry, Martez, not to put you on the spot, but WWE is messing up. I mean, they did good with the – look, I'm going to get to the draft in a minute. I want to talk about the draft. So, listen, man, Connor, you know what I'm saying? I wonder who he's going to face. It could be Sam Beal. No spoilers. Could be Sam Beal. I don't know. Is that going to happen? Who knows? But anyway, that just the card alone is fucking fire, bro. You got the process, your boy, Mike Cardinal, versus Isaiah Moore, the highlight, Mr. Highlight himself. Dude, this card is just stacked on this show. Did you see the card of this show, like, updating it every day? Horseslam is bringing it. They was like, you know what I'm saying? People are like, how do you top the pay-per-view that you just did? And they're doing it, dude.
It's an anniversary show, and then coming out of this anniversary show, they're doing the GCW.
Yeah, dude, and I can't wait for that show because, dude, we're gonna be hanging out with Mr. Zach Alex Zane, dude. We're gonna be hanging with Alex Zane, bro. We're gonna be eating Taco Bell, drinking Baja Blast, and Big Red with Alex Zane, dude. This is gonna be one hell of a next 2 months, and your boy is fully vaccinated, gimmick it. I'm fully vaccinated, so we're good.
That's what's up. I got the full vax gimmick just so everybody can kick my motherfucking vaccinated ass. Motherfucking vaccinated ass.
All day, baby.
Okay.
The Horseslam fucking anniversary show and the GCW show, bro. Oh, my God. Hopefully, dude, we can get Connor on the Rated R Wrestling podcast that night. Because Alex Zane is going to be there. Oh, no, not at... Yeah. Alex Zane is going to be at the Horseslam versus GCW show. Dude. We could hang with Alex Zane and Connor in one night and probably do a double in simultaneously, all four of us. Dude, we could end up picking them up. We could end up, listen, dude, I'm gonna talk to Alex Zane, see if he could pull a string or two. We'll see what happens. And we can pick them up from the damn airport, wherever they're at, treat them to breakfast. Before the show, bada boom, bada bing, we got a fucking double interview, son.
Stay tuned. A lot
we can
of
end up
exciting
doing,
wrestling going
and
on
I'm,
the rest of the month.
And we're gonna have to buy a whole lot of Big Reds and Taco Bell with some Baja Blast, buddy. Good. And we can have some good, we want the smoke, we want the smoke, top shelf shit, son.
Top shelf.
All day, baby, all day long. All day, baby. So, Alex Zane, Big Man Khan, when y'all get to Detroit, the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, gotcha. We gotcha.
Yeah, we're going to actually see our brother Martez at some shows here soon. He's got the bug.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to get back out.
We can't forget about that.
He had to drop off the call.
Everybody, if you're not doing anything November the 13th, come out to the Imagine Theater in Royal Oak. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 will be in the house with Martez and the Russell Connection watching the AEW Full Gear pay-per-view. And... you know, it's $15, but you'd be watching the pay-per-view not with just your friends, but you're on the big screen. Watching the pay-per-view, come out, support us, you know what I'm saying? You know, have some fun, you know?
$60 pay-per-view,
you know,
man, $15 to watch it on
$15
a,
on a
you know,
big
giant screen.
Screen. On a,
I tell you what, I know some people, and I tell you, local stars are going to be in attendance. I have a few confirmed personally. Hasn't been, you know, publicly announced yet. But, man, you know, you'd be able to kick it with some of your favorite independent wrestling superstars. I'm not going to say no names yet, but...
Give me an insight, man. You didn't even tell me this, man. You got to let your brother know this, man. What's up? Let your brother know a secret.
Stay tuned.
We on the rated R.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned,
you must stay
man.
Tuned.
Stay tuned. See, guys, I gotta wait just as much as you guys. So stay tuned to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast because you never know what happens here.
And stay tuned to the Detroit Wrestling Connection because I hear there's something brewing in the works bigger than a watch party. We have an event, another event coming up. We already got a Detroit Wrestling Connection first, being this the first ever AEW watch party. You know, it's been WWE up until now. We, you know, the Royal Oak Imagine Theater. We've had a few events there. We had WrestleMania there. We had SummerSlam there. And now AEW Full Gear. So excited.
Hey, whoa. I'm going to say something. Martez, brother, are you there?
He's not. He had to drop off the call.
Oh, okay. So brother Martez is finally doing an AEW pay-per-view, and your boy is back in town. Yeah.
And he told me when he told me about it, he said he feels like he's cheating on the WWE here.
Oh, Martez, don't never think that. You're never cheating on the WWE, brother, because you know what? We're pro wrestling fans at the end of the day. After all this, you know what I'm saying? We're wrestling fans at the end of the day, brother. I hope you're listening because simple facts are facts. Pro wrestling and entertainment are two different plates. One's your appetizer, one's your entree. For me now, WWE is my appetizer and the AEW is my whole meal, the whole deal. You know what I mean?
I'm a fat fucker. I eat all that.
No, for me, I've been paying attention to AEW for a while now. Ever since I've, you know what I'm saying, have been coming to real, you know, a lot of shows or whatever, I've been paying attention. And AEW, now that they got big talents, even before, yesterday was their 2-year anniversary show, which was fire. It drew a couple less hundred million or a couple million, you know, from that last week. But listen, dude, their opening match was Jurassic Park, Christian Cage, Daniel Bryan versus the Elite and Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, and I can't remember the last guy. Anyway, dude, fire match. I want to say about 20 minutes tops. Nothing but pro wrestling, a little bit of entertainment. You got to entertain the people while you're doing a bit of pro wrestling. And, dude, just like Mavado said, AEW has a lot of different talents and a lot of different ways to go about wrestling, dude. And AEW, dude, in a little bit of time that they've been around 2 years, dude, have been nothing but fire. I've been paying attention to AEW even before the Rated R Wrestling Podcast was born. And it has been what they said it's been. It's been a little different. They did get a couple ex-WWE guys, a couple ex-legends, a couple ex-Hall of Famers, whatever, whatnot. But they're still doing their homegrown talent. They're boosting up Jungle Boy. They're boosting up other people like that. You know what I'm saying? Young talent that's going to bring up the professional wrestling scene up in the future. So, I mean, you got Brian Pillman Jr., you know what I'm saying? They brought out the TBS Women's Championship.
One winner, when I was laid off, I decided to watch every ECW from the very first episode. The early ECW shit was trash. It was fucking awful.
Oh, yeah.
And, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert is awesome. And, you know, I mean, I watched it and I was entertained by it because I'm a wrestling fan. But as AEW started hot and then they went down a little and they maybe tried to do too much, tried to be a little too different. It wasn't where, and they evolved into what you see and they're still evolving and they're giving people what they want. They're gauging what people want. They're listening to what people want. And they're only going to get bigger and better.
Exactly.
Only
that's my
get
point.
Better.
The only thing that they need in their women's division is a tag team championships. That's it. Or even, you know what I'm saying, a trio championship because Britt Baker, DMD, that's her little stable, or maybe even bring out a trio's tag titles, or well, I would prefer a tag title thing. But anyway,
oh my god,
they have a trio.
Here's
listen,
some breaking
they,
news 53 minutes ago, bro. The Horror Slam, the Midwest Heavyweight Champion, and Aaron O'Ryan is going to go one-on-one, making his Horror Slam debut with the Suplex Shogun, Jaxson Stone.
Ooh. Woo! That's some fire for your ass! That's some fire! Dude, that's going to be one hell of a match. Aaron O'Ryan, dude, he's a heavy hitter, suplexing, man. Dude, and you got him going against the Shogun, the man that's actually a suplex machine. I don't mean to, I don't got no copyrights to that, but, you know, nonetheless, man, that
match of the night is going to be Isaiah Moore and MM3. Mark my words, but that will be a close second.
Hey, does the Rated R Wrestling Podcast feel like sponsoring one more match?
Maybe we'll see.
Yeah, let's see if that can happen. Let's make magic happen, brother. But nonetheless, dude, what a time, dude. Like a year, almost 2 years ago, 3 years ago, dude, more like 2.5 years ago, dude, wrestling was, you know, dead almost. You know what I'm saying? Before AEW and the indie scene got hot. And you got, like we said last week, death match promotions such as GCW, CZW, Horror Slam now.
ICW.
And Horror Slam, the biggest thing in the 4 years. And, oh, go ahead, brother.
ICW. They just brought
ICW,
us the Deathmatch Circus. ICW New York came to F5's compound, teamed with RPW, and had the Deathmatch Circus.
Dude, they're doing, look, promotions just as this dude are spending themselves, you know, till they can't no more, dude, and they're making a name for themselves. Just Briar Wellington is, dude, undeniable like a motherfucker, bro. That's my wrestling father, bro. I love that guy to the
he
death,
loves me more than
you know
he loves
I mean?
You.
No, that's my wrestling father. How are you going to say that?
He loves me more than
that's
he loves all of you.
Father. I don't think so. But, Horror Slam, dude, 4 year anniversary show, fire ass card, and they're gonna keep announcing. They just announced that match, the Suplex Shogun versus Aaron O'Reilly, the Midwest Heavyweight Champion. They got Connor coming in. They got MM3 Isaiah Moore. They got Detroit Punk versus 440. Man, the list goes on and on, dude. They got a whole thing. Madman Pondo, GCW Hall of Famer 2018, versus the undeniable, undisputed former JCW Heavyweight Champion Brian Wellington. And man, the list is gonna go on, and it's gonna keep going. And then the next night, the next month, you got the Horror Slam versus GCW round two. And then you still got more. You got John Wayne Murdoch versus Jay Christ. All these matches are just going to keep going, dude.
I really want to see Eric Healy get his ass beat. That's what I'm hoping for. I have to go in, of course, to support my brother, Matt Breeding. But, dude, how about the 2021 Goddess of Gore, Randy West, dude, after being in a brutal death match at RPW on Saturday night. She jumps on a plane to Ohio, as did Mickey Knuckles, and they fight in this tournament. And Randy West, man, the 2021 Goddess of Gore, congratulations. Definitely the baddest broad in the business.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that, dude. And
please don't
kill
me,
Mickey. Dude, we got to get her. We're going to have to get her on. Stay tuned to that. That's going to be a guest that, you know what I'm saying, will bring eyes to the show also, dude, because she's got one hell of a story, I believe.
Yeah, I agree.
And, dude, but we're almost out of time in a minute, man. But next week, dude, I'm going to be on for sure, dude. I'm going to have to. Because that interview, dude, I'm gonna give hats off to you, dude. That interview was fire. Hat off to you, brother.
Thank you, Cher. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah, I think we're out of time, ain't we? 45 after.
Yes, we are. We are about out of time, and we'll be here next week, man, to talk about all things wrestling. And you never know what else.
And you never know who's going to show up. You never know. So from the South.
And you never know what might be announced.
And my brother Greg the Mark, and you never know who's announced, what's announced, who's been announced, what it's going to be, because this is a shoot. We love you guys. See you guys next week.
Peace.